Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Top, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. It is Tim Keller sitting in the host chair this week with Tyler Gunther. We're actually doing the DHH 200 2.0 episode, and we couldn't think of a better way to start the new year than by having one of the best minds in this awesome little game that we play come and join us. And we brought Ryan McDowell on the show to bless us with his presence. So, Ryan, how were your holidays? Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. Holidays were great. I think these playoff games this first weekend has been even better. I'm hoping for more great games next weekend and just ready to really get into draft season.
Yeah, 100%. Tyler, how about you, man? How you doing? How the kids?
I just want to say I'm sorry, Saints fan, for like after Drew Brees won his first Super Bowl, you know, I think he sold his soul to voodoo and all that stuff just to get that one Super Bowl. And then, I mean, he's just not going to get it.
They're going to let him get close every time, but not win another one. Is that what you're saying?
Yep. Wow. And then, you know, the voodoo person probably said something about a zebra and messing with the rest of his life. And that's why the refs are screwing him over. Yeah, it's just, it's tough.
Well, maybe Wentz needs to go down that road because, I mean, he finally made it to the playoffs this year and then the early exit from the game today. So my Eagles are not going to advance. You know, congratulations to the Seahawks. The better team won tonight. But, yeah, Ryan was right. There were some fun games. I was a big, big Buffalo Bills fan this weekend.
Yes.
I was a Titans fan, as I'd say probably 95% of the U.S. population was. So we got to see. And Derrick Henry looks like an absolute man out there. So maybe there's something to that little bit of rest there at the end of the regular season. But
yeah, him and Dalvin Cook got that rest, and they looked very good this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Against very good defenses, so.
Yeah.
You know. But guys, it is 2020, and we want to talk about this year's 2020 rookie class. And I can't think of a better way to do that than just start off with the way, way too early rookie mock draft. I mean, there's no combine numbers.
We have no idea of landing spots.
we're shooting with darts here blindly at a dartboard. You know, we could be hitting bullseyes or we could be hitting that wall next to the dartboard and, you know, maybe putting a hole in somebody's pictures, but
hitting somebody in the neck. Who knows?
But we wanted to try to just kind of get these guys' names out there, put them in your ears. And so you have an idea of what we're looking at right now with this class and how we have them ranked as of this minute. Now, I know that I personally have one or two guys on my top 24 that may still go back to college. So there might be a name or two that actually isn't in this 2020 rookie class. But for the most part, I think we're going to try to stay away from those guys.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Devonta Smith, I think we should just say screw it. Henry Ruggs will say screw it. He's in. We'll put in Tua. you know what, screw it. Let's put in Trevor Lawrence. Let's put in Justin Fields. Let's just.
You want to have the ultimate draft class? Is that
what ultimate draft class.
Yeah, there you go. Trevor Lawrence is going to be fun next year, I think. So.
Yeah. God, that's going to be a fun class.
So, I mean, Tyler, this was your idea, but we do have a guest. So do you want the 101 or are you going to be a gentleman and give it to our wonderful guest?
Actually, I'm going to let him pick where he wants.
Okay.
So how about we do that? And should we do – no, let's not do back-to-back, like the end of the round type stuff. So let's go 1-2-3, 1-2-3.
Gotcha.
Yeah, this is a tough pick, especially I think I'm correct that we're doing a super flex format.
Super flex, yes.
Super flex.
So 12 team.
Yeah,
12 team, two rounds, 24 picks.
I love it. I feel like right now there are probably five guys, maybe even six guys who could you could consider for the 101 in a super flex draft, which that's why we are so excited about this class of 2020. It's not just one guy. It's not Saquon Barkley at the top that one out of 12 owners are going to get in their league. But like I said, there's five or six guys. Basically, if you miss the playoffs this year, if you held on to that pick like you should have, you're going to get a stud prospect. So because of that, I'm going to sit back a little bit. I'm going to take the three pick, let you two guys get this thing started.
Okay. And I'll take the first pick.
Okay.
Because I kind of know where I'm going to go. And despite all the hype on the running backs and wide receivers and all that, I'm just going to go with a quarterback, which is one of the most valuable pieces in a team for Superflex. I'm in the UDPL, and man, quarterbacks are so needed. It's insane. And you have a quarterback drop. You are trading the iron price to get one. So I'm going to go Joe Burrow at 101 at the moment, but he lit the world on fire with 7 touchdowns in the first half. Mm-hmm. Man, what a performance. I get his weapons are great, but the most interesting thing is going to be how in the world did this happen from last year to this year? Because last year he looked nothing like this, and now this year he looks like one of the best quarterback prospects to ever come out of college. So it's going to be interesting to see how the process goes. I mean, he's a fifth year senior. He's 23. So, you know, usually when we have these top quarterbacks come out, they're 21, 22. I mean, Lamar Jackson is still like 15, apparently. But these quarterbacks, he's an older quarterback, and that doesn't bother me with quarterbacks, but it's going to be interesting to see him go through the process. But from what I've seen this year, he's a slam dunk. So I'm going to go Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, no argument there in the super flex version of a draft. That's a great pick. And I actually missed the first half of that game. I was on my way home, so
you
I
probably
decided,
watched.
Hey,
God, he sucks.
I decided, let me pull up the stat lines real quick before I get home. Just have an idea what's going on in the game. And I'm like, wait, 403 and 7 touchdowns? I'm like, that can't be right. So I called a buddy of mine. Hey, is this real? He's yeah, 100% it's real. He's just ripping these guys apart. So, yeah, heck of a performance there to make their way into the championship game for LSU. So that moves me into the two spot. I'd love to take Tua here, but with the questions of him not coming back, I'm going to stay away for now. And
no,
I'm
he's
gonna
in.
Go,
like he's in. He's declared in this situation.
I'm going to stay away for now, and I'm going to go with DeAndre Swift. The Georgia running back, 5'9", 215 is what he's listed at. We'll get obviously solid measurements and weights here in a few months on a lot of these guys. But he has a career 6.6 yard per carry average in the SEC against extremely talented defenses and defensive players there. I love this kid. I love his explosion. I love his agility. I love what I see from vision for him and his balance through contact. I think this guy has very good hands as well. He could be an all-around back in the NFL, the type that can stay on the field for all three downs, and those are so rare in today's game. So,
side note.
Yeah.
Ryan, where would you rank him in recent Georgia running backs to come out? Going back, we'll start with Gurley.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would be behind Gurley and Chubb for me. Mm-hmm. Tim mentioned the just the idea of him being an every down back. I've still got a few questions about that. I think he, depending of course on landing spot, he could end up at least early in his career being more of maybe that 1B back in a excuse me, in a backfield to the more traditional ball carrier. So definitely excited about him as a prospect. I think he's probably my RB1 though with so many talents in this class, that's even a question. So it's not meant as a knock to him, but yeah, I would prefer Gurley and Chubb for sure.
Okay. Not,
yeah, I'm right there. I have him as Georgia running backs go. I have him third to those two guys as well. I mean, last year, 163 carries and 32 catches. This year with 196 carries and 24 catches. I think he shows the ability to play both ways. And that's what the NFL is looking for these days. So I like him a lot, and he'll be my number two overall pick in this mock draft.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, Ryan, so you're up at number three.
Yeah, I think, Tim, you alluded to it. There are, of course, still some questions about Tua, not only his health after that that scary injury, but, of course, if he even declares, I guess we'll know soon. I think he's got that press conference scheduled. But at this point, I would make him the 1.03 pick in this draft. Tyler, you talked about how tough it is to get quarterbacks in a super flex league. I totally agree with that. And anytime I can add a quarterback, whether it's rookie drafts, I do a lot of Devy leagues, always try to stockpile quarterbacks and then use that to my advantage. It seems like Tua has been linked most often to Miami, and I think they're picking fifth, I believe. So that kind of lines up with maybe where he could fall in this draft, even after that injury. And I think that would be a great spot to allow him to sit, maybe even for the full year with Fitzpatrick starting there and Tua sitting, recovering from the injury and getting ready for his NFL career. So 1.03, I'm going to take Tua Tagovailoa.
I like it. Nice. Yeah, we were just talking before you came on, Ryan, and if he goes to Miami, he has the luxury of not having to jump in right away. Fitzpatrick's right there. He can still recover from that injury, but I think he's a player that if he was to get drafted by Miami, he will play week 5, 6. And yeah, Fitzmagic is a great person just to be around energy wise. He'll get you back into that fun attitude for football. And we also get to enjoy another 4 or 5 more games of Fitzpatrick. So that's always a plus.
That it is. All right, Tyler, you're up at 4, man.
This one's tough, but going from what I've seen on tape, I'm going to go with J.K. Dobbins here. And he's just good all around. He's actually the first player I watched tape on. And, man, he's good at catching the ball. He's a good pass blocker, which will keep him on the field for all three downs. He's good between the tackles. He's got good balance. He reminds me like a Kareem Hunt, but almost more athletic. So he's got a little more hop in his step, but he's good at everything. He doesn't have that trait where you're like, wow, that's great. It could be pass blocking because I've seen him lay out a bunch of people watching some tape lately. But, man, if he is not the safest player in this draft, I don't know who is. He could be around the level of Josh Jacobs year one. And hopefully he gets more pass-catching ability or opportunities in 2020. But that's all dependent on landing spot. But I really like what I've seen from J.K. Dobbins. And it's just, you know, even with his injured ankle, he fought through it during the bowl game this past week. So give me J.K. Dobbins at, what is this, 4?
Four overall. It's a good pick. He's just, like you said, he's a safe player. He's a solid guy. He's very well-rounded. I like all of his tools. But, yeah, you and I agreed that there isn't that one thing that flashes where he's just, you know, you watch the film and he's the fastest guy on the field or he's the most agile guy on the field. There's running backs that run slightly better routes. There's running backs that show better hands. But He's very, very good. There's nothing that you watch his film and go, yikes, that's not good. So you got to like that there. So again, I mean, do I go with a quarterback here at five? I don't think it's time yet. I like some of these other prospects better, and I'm going to go with Jerry Jeudy, the Alabama wide receiver. He's 6'1". He shows great speed on the field. Two straight seasons over 1,000 yards receiving. Another double-digit season in touchdowns. This kid is my 101 at receiver in this class, so I'm happy to take him here at five. You know, that 6'1 frame, if he puts on just a little bit more muscle and he keeps that speed, I think he's going to do very, very well for himself in the NFL.
I don't want that with receivers, by the way. Just stay who you are, please. Amari Cooper tried the whole muscle thing. Just, no, stay who you are. Stay true to what you do well. Who cares about adding muscle? In this NFL, it doesn't matter.
If you're in the right offense and the offensive coordinator can learn to weaponize you for, you know, who you are and your actual talents, and yeah, sure. But I like Jerry Jeudy a lot. I mean, he's a human highlight film, so I look forward to watching him on Sundays, and I think he's going to be very successful. So I'll take him here at five, and we'll see how the rest of this falls.
All right, I think I'm on the clock at six. Tyler,
yes, sir.
I got to tell you, the Dobbins pick surprised me a little bit. I thought those...
Did I throw you off?
Just a little bit. I thought I would have an easy choice here at the sixth spot, but you made it a little bit tougher on me. One running back I'm considering, one wide receiver I'm considering. I'm gonna go with the wide receiver. It's CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma, and I think... of course, he had a very solid start to his career, but he was playing there with Marquise Brown and even with Mark Andrews his freshman year, and this year it was his team, and he showed that he dominated. I think it's going to be a really fun next few months as we compare Lamb and Jeudy and really try to decide which one of these guys is the one to have. And in reality, I want them both. I would be happy with either one.
Yeah.
But here at the...
If that's an option, yeah, sure.
Exactly.
I mean, I'll take both.
Exactly. But no, Lamb here at six, I think, is a steal. I mentioned a handful of guys in consideration for the 101. He would be one of them. Mm-hmm. Probably wouldn't take Lamb over a quarterback in general, but if you're looking at a one quarterback rookie draft, I think it's Swift, Jeudy, Lamb, and one other running back that could all be potential 101 picks.
Yep, and let's not forget, at this point in last year, A.J. Brown was a lot of people's 101, 102, 103, and he fell because of landing spot. CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, or any other receiver could land in a bad spot. But don't forget the talent, because talent wins out, and they will go up in dynasty rankings like A.J. Brown is. Let's stay true to what we see in January as well as landing spot. Let's not forget where we are now as before.
Yeah, it's just one other piece of that pie. It's not the whole pie.
Yeah, because who knows if there's a Ryan Tannehill on the team that can just come up out of nowhere, rise like a phoenix, and make A.J. Brown the next superstar.
All right, Tyler, that takes you into your pick there at number seven.
So there's a couple receivers and all that stuff, but I'm going to go with another quarterback. And a lot of people don't like this quarterback, and it's Justin Herbert. But he reminds me a lot of the scrutiny Josh Allen was getting. I know Josh Allen had, his completion percentage, he's so erratic, he's all over the place at times. I mean, Justin Herbert is he stayed for a senior year. We all like to see quarterbacks actually get more playing time in college and learn more, then they can be more mature as they go into the NFL game. I think Justin Herbert's going to do that. I like the athleticism. Hopefully he doesn't run like he did in the bowl game, because he's going to get destroyed in the NFL. He might get ripped in half. But I like what I've seen. I think he can get better in the NFL. And once again, he is a quarterback, and quarterbacks have value. Look at Drew Locke at the end of the season. He went from being, what would you say, Ryan, a late second-round value in Superflex. Now he's worth a first easily.
Yeah, I think he he's worth close to a first for sure, and he looks like he's the starter there. So you're right. In that super flex format, it doesn't take much for a quarterback to quickly gain value.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill, another example, went from being worth absolutely nothing to probably somebody's second quarterback at worst, could be your first, depending on if you have none or if you went no quarterback in Superflex. But yeah, give me the quarterback, give me Justin Herbert, and he's probably a first-round pick, and first-round picks usually get to play sooner than later.
Yeah, that one actually sniped me. I thought I was going to land Herbert there at 8. So I'm on to my next guy on my list, and this one's pretty easy for me here. I'm going to dip back into the running back well, and I'm going to hope that Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin is the player in the NFL that we've seen in college, because 2 straight years over 2,000 yards in the Big Ten. It's not the SEC when it comes to defense, but there are solid defenses there in the Big Ten that he's running against on a weekly basis. Obviously, Wisconsin's known for their offensive line. He's not going to have a stud offensive line in front of him at all 5 positions, most likely. But I think the kid's got the talent to do it. He runs hard. He's got decent enough speed. I'll be very interested in his combine numbers when it comes to the speed and that first 10 yards to see what kind of burst he's got. But from what I see on tape, when you get him in the open field, he's not going to run away from everybody. He's going to run away from most, though. So I like Jonathan Taylor here. Some could call him a compiler of stats, and that might be true. But the guy's got a 6.7 yard per carry average in college in a Division I Big Ten school. So I like what I see out of Jonathan Taylor. I'm going to take him here at 8 overall.
Yeah, and it's weird to see him grow up from Tool Time. That's my only thing, like Home Improvement, being on the show, and now he's a top prospect.
Yeah. I mean, he was just that cute kid when that show started, and now look at him.
Yeah. He's a big man.
Going in the NFL. So, Ryan, that takes us to 9, which means you are back on the clock, sir.
All right. I've already taken one Alabama prospect who may or may not be in this class, so I'm going to take another one here. Henry Ruggs, the wide receiver. You know, I think it's easy to say, and it's obvious, that Tyreek Hill has really changed the NFL for a lot of receivers, and Henry Ruggs has already seen plenty of comps to Tyreek Hill with his speed and even his size. So if we can get half of a Tyreek Hill from Henry Ruggs at the back half of the rookie draft, you have to be pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that's a very good spin on it. Yeah, if he's half or three quarters of what Tyreek Hill is, then getting him at 9 overall is a very, very solid pick. That's going to pay dividends, because if he's half of what a Tyreek is, within months you're going to be able to sell him for probably double that value.
Think of it this way. Will Fuller ran what he did and was drafted at, what, 21st overall?
Yeah, I think so.
If Ruggs runs in the 4.2s, I mean, John Ross was drafted at 9. Ruggs is going to jump so high in the NFL draft if he can run a 4.2. So, and I think it could happen. I need the combine to happen. Can we reschedule this? Can we just move the combine up? Forget pro days, just have combines and get the draft over in March.
Yeah, Ruggs is one, and again, we'll know soon. We'll have all these questions answered soon, but he is one that I am a little worried might go back to school. I hope that's not the case. I want him in the NFL. I want him on my dynasty rosters very soon.
Yeah. And we all saw how Mecole Hardman can produce for your fantasy team right off the get-go. Mm-hmm. Speed is always used in the NFL. It's a huge, huge ace in the hole, per se, for NFL teams now. So, yeah, he's going to be fun to watch. And from what I've seen, Raiders is almost a lock to get him. Hopefully Derek Carr isn't the quarterback for them then, because he hates pushing the ball down the field. But, yeah, we'll see. I'm up for my next pick, and I have a couple running backs I'm deciding between. One that I'm coming around on and another that I've loved for 3 years now. I think I'm going to go with the love. I'm going to go with Cam Akers. just the athleticism he has and the explosiveness he has as a running back. I know he's still kind of learning the position. He was a Wildcat quarterback in high school, and there are some plays where he looks a little lost on pass protection. But like Miles Sanders shown, if you are willing to learn, you are able to get it done. And Miles Sanders is a prime example of somebody who's willing to learn pass blocking and is now a three-down back. He's a very good running back. Cam Akers, I think, can do that. And with his athleticism and explosiveness, I think Cam Akers could be a three-down back in the NFL. And at, what are we at, 9?
Ten.
At 110. And 2 years ago, thinking getting Cam Akers at 110 in Devy Leagues, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was not happening. I mean, Cam Akers was a lot of people's 101 in Devy. So being able to get him at 110 is nice. And he's probably one of the younger players coming out too.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to take my first shot here. I'm going to go with Shenault. I'm going to take
Cordero Patterson 2.0.
Yeah, 6'2", 220 is what he's listed at. But the guy is an explosion. The guy is a big play waiting to happen. I think his freshman year in Colorado, I think he had a receiving average of 24 yards. So the guy has the ability to go down, make big splash plays happen. He's got great speed, great hands. I like a lot of things about him. I'm going to dig more into him this week. But from the little bit I have seen of him, I think he is a highlight film waiting to happen. You know, Ryan mentioned Tyreek Hill. I don't know if he's going to be that sort of fast, but I think he's got the ability to beat defenders deep and make big plays happen, a la Tyreek Hill. So I'm going to take him here at 11 overall, and hopefully I get a big play or two early and see his value rise.
Yeah, he could be what we all wanted Cordell Patterson to be when he was raising up into the second round of startups, when Patterson was getting all the hype. I mean, I think Shenault is more polished than Patterson was coming out, which will help. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a system play. If he lands in the right system, sure. But he's going to be one I'm going to be more skeptical about, I think.
Yeah, I like Shenault's talent a ton. The concern for me is just the injuries. He's had pretty serious injuries each of his years at Colorado. So he's one of those guys I want to put in bubble wrap and make sure he makes it to week one, because I'm excited about the player. But I think it's that health that might push him down to this late first, or maybe even push him out of the first round in some rookie drafts. And at that point, of course, he becomes a value. He becomes a player worth taking a chance on. I am going to go back to the running back position here with the last pick in the first round. This is a guy who I actually had as my top ranked Devy player entering the season. He got off to a little bit of a slow start and then really finished the season strongly. I'm taking Travis Etienne here, the running back from Clemson. And Tim, you said a big play waiting to happen. That's Etienne for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah.
And there's already been people, I've seen lots of comments on Twitter hoping this guy lands with the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, they've got an offense that we want all of our players to be a part of, but they also have some questions at the running back position. So it's kind of like Jamaal Charles 2.0. If Etienne lands there, he's not going to be around at the 112 pick.
Oh, and then they draft somebody like Zach Moss. Ugh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yuck.
Well, Tyler, you up at 13 overall, 201. Zach Moss is still on the board. He's all yours.
No, I'm actually going to go with a receiver I was hoping would fall to me, and that is T. Higgins, a tall man, a tall drink of water, with great hands, good jump ball artist. Man, I hope he lands with – I would love to see him with the Giants, because I think Daniel Jones needs somebody like a monster like that can be a red zone threat. He was number one recruit, I think, Ryan, coming out of high school. T. Higgins, yeah.
Yep.
At receiver, super talented, finally found his groove in this offense. I know everybody was talking about Ross being the best wide receiver there, but T. Higgins definitely showed up and pretty much showed why he was the top-ranked receiver in his class. So give me T. Higgins at 201. I like the value there. I think he'd be more of a 108 in a non-superflex for me. But, yeah, give me in the second round all day.
All right, so I'm up at 202, 14th overall, and being at Superflex, I'm finally going to dip my toes into this quarterback water.
Don't do it.
And I'm going to go with Jake Fromm. He's not the most exciting guy. He's not the most electric guy. I think he
is the Will Greer for you this year.
I think that he has played very well in the SEC, completing over 63% of his passes for his career down there. He's thrown for over 8,000 yards, 17 touchdowns, 18 picks in his career starting for the Bulldogs. There isn't anything on his tape that makes you go, oh, my God. Like Burrow, if you just put on, you know, that playoff game, obviously that first half is you could sell somebody on that. Like, this guy is
your
the best quarterback.
Your pants are off 5
class.
Minutes in.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, oh, my God. Who is this football Jesus we're witnessing here? And then, you know, Tua, I mean, the second he came on the field there in Alabama, you could see that there was something special happening.
Yeah, that second half in that championship game when he came in as a freshman was one of the best performances.
Yeah, and you immediately you saw it. Herbert has flashes on his film. There are moments where you're like, oh, man, that was a very good play. That was a very good read. He escaped from that pressure in the pocket, and he made a positive out of something that looked like it was going to be an absolute negative. Fromm doesn't have those, not too many of those big plays on tape that make you go, oh my God, this is so special. But I think that he's a safe quarterback. I do think that he's the type that at some point will get a chance to start. And I mean, it's super flex. So you got to try to find yourself starting quarterbacks in this sort of format. And at 202, I'll take a shot on him and hope that it hits and hope he gets a good landing spot and gets a shot here.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to give you a good example. I make the joke that Zach Moss has Benny Snell's picture in his locker and he looks at it and hopes to God that one day he's Benny Snell. I feel like Jake Fromm has Alex Smith's picture in his locker and just hopes that one day he could succeed like Alex Smith, which isn't bad. It's not a bad thing. We all need that second quarterback for Superflex.
In Superflex leagues, Alex Smith was starting on rosters.
That's so true. So I hope Fromm lands in a good spot. I do like Fromm. He's a safe pick. He doesn't throw many turnovers. He's very picky about where he throws
it. Smart.
Yeah. I like Fromm. I'm not in love with him. There's probably a couple more upside quarterbacks in the draft, but if you're more in for the safe, give me somebody that I could start week to week and not cry myself to sleep and have games ruined over because of him, you know, a la Jameis Winston. Yeah, Jake Fromm is probably your guy.
Yeah. All right, Ryan, we're back to you. 203, 15th overall.
I'm going to go back to a player we haven't heard officially from yet. It seems like rumors are this guy's going back to school, but Tyler told me I could draft these guys, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Chuba Hubbard, the running back from Oklahoma State. If he does declare, I think he would end up being higher than this. He's just a redshirt sophomore and had really a breakout season. So we'll see what happens from him as far as his official decision. But he's the type of player that in a super flex league, and Tyler, you grabbed Higgins already in this round, but those first round talents that fall to the second round because of the quarterback scarcity, that's really the best. And those dynasty players with early second round picks, that's what you have to take advantage of.
Yep. And honestly, if Chuba Hubbard came out, I'd probably have him ahead of ETN. I'd possibly have him ahead of Akers just because of the production we saw this year and just how dominating he was on the field. And he's a three down back. My worries is he a lot like James Conner in that aspect? He's very upright, and that's my main worry with Hubbard. So I like the pick. So I think I'm going to go back to the quarterbacks. I love me some quarterbacks. My issue is, which wild card am I going to select? There's two that are probably going to be drafted high, one higher than the other, but I like one better. So I'm actually going to go with Jacob Eason. He's a five-star guy, went to Washington, surprised a lot of people early on this year when he, with his play, you know, 300 yards, three touchdowns almost every week in Devy leagues, you know, college leagues that you had him. I had him in a couple college leagues, and he was nice seeing that production. But he's got a big arm. It's just, can we calm him down on the turnovers? Can we get his feet planted? That's the thing with Eason, but he has every tool you need from a quarterback. He's big, strong arm. Just get the accuracy right. He showed up this year from the transfer from Georgia because Fromm beat him out. So it was nice to see Eason play well in Washington. And I'd say he's a mid-second round pick in the NFL draft, which if we're going to say that, what do you guys think? Second rounder, maybe third?
I think he's the second rounder just because what we've been talking about with these super flex leagues, we know the same thing happens in the NFL, that teams reach for quarterbacks because it is so hard to acquire them.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, if he's a second round quarterback, we all saw with Locke, it took him a little bit to get on the field, but I think that helped Locke personally. So I think Eason could have the same path. And if he lands in New Orleans, that'd be great.
Yeah.
It's a heck of a system down there, that's for sure. So
until you hit the playoffs.
All right. Until you make the playoffs. So, Tyler, I'm stepping into your backyard. I'm taking a receiver here, Tyler Johnson, out of Minnesota. 6'2", 200 pounds. I like what I see from him. He reminds me a little bit of Keyshawn Johnson, the older Keyshawn Johnson.
Not the Arizona Cardinal one?
No, not the Arizona Cardinal, Keyshawn Johnson. I think he runs good routes. He has a decent ability to separate just using his routes. He's decent yards after the catch, but he's not great. I like his footwork and his routes. I think he's got good hands. But we're talking about a school not known for producing receivers, and this is two straight years over 1,000 yards from this kid. So
yeah, that's going to be an old story, by the way. Not producing receivers. Minnesota's got a couple in the works.
I was going to say, don't they have a couple young boys?
Rashad Bateman is better than Tyler Johnson by a long shot, and he won't be till next year.
So at 6'2", 205, I like the frame. I like the size. I like what I've seen out of him in the Big Ten this year. So I look forward to seeing him in the NFL, and hope he continues working on those routes and working on his hands. It just gets better.
Somebody had a good comp, and I actually liked it, and it was Davante Adams coming out of Fresno State. Not Davante Adams now, but when he came out of Fresno, he still had some things
little,
he had to work on.
A little
on.
Raw, yeah. Had the talent, but needed to work on a couple things to kind of round things out. Got you.
Yeah, so I like it. He's got good hands, good route runner. And like I said, if he wants to be special, which he has an opportunity to be in the NFL, he just needs to round out those hard edges, and I think he could be very good.
Yeah, I like Johnson. So I like Tyler Johnson a lot as well. I'm really still kind of disappointed he was not in last year's rookie class. He had that huge bowl game. Mm-hmm. Everybody was all Dynasty players were, I guess, assuming he would go ahead and declare. He obviously went back, and it's hard to fault kids like that because, I mean, Bateman was there, and Minnesota had a great season. I think really surprised a lot of people, of course. So hard to fault him, but I do think he's lost some value. If we're sitting here doing this a year ago and he's one of those players that we're unsure if he's declaring or not, we probably would have drafted him in the first round before he had made his official decision. So now he falls a little bit, but still a player I'm excited about. At 18 overall, I'm going to stick with the running back position. It's starting to dry up there. There's a handful of wide receivers that I still like, so I know I can wait on that position a little bit. I'm going to go with the Alabama running back, Najee Harris. I already already took Hubbard, who's over 6 feet, and Najee Harris is the other taller back in this class. He's 6'2", over 220 pounds, and we really saw him break out this season as expected with Damian Harris off to the NFL. So Najee Harris, he was the I believe he was the RB1 or RB2 in that draft or in that recruiting class along with Cam Akers. Those two guys were kind of 1A and 1B depending on which ranking service you were looking at, and they both, you know, I think they probably both would be considered disappointments in their college career, but those, so often those are the type of players that I try to snag at a discount because we know they have the talent. And in Akers' case, I think we can look at just his disappointing team situation. And Harris's case, of course, he was stuck in that loaded backfield for most of his Alabama career. So I think there's some legitimate reasons why those two guys didn't produce as maybe we would expect them to. And if they're falling to the late first, to the early second round, those are players I'm going to be targeting.
Yeah, I completely agree. So, Tyler, who you got at 19
so
overall?
I know you guys are getting sick and tired of me taking quarterbacks, but I'm going to do it again. I'm going to go – I want to stay with what could actually happen in Superflex. So, I possibly might go a different route because I'm not sure about this guy, but Jordan Love seems to be a hot commodity for NFL draft-wise. And if he's taken in the first round, which a lot of people are saying, he's going to go probably earlier in Superflex. So, at 19 overall – Jordan Love, I haven't watched too much of his tape, but I've heard he's very erratic, but he's got a bunch of tools. He's got the arm. He can run. He's very toolsy, going to baseball terms. I know, Ryan, you're a baseball fan.
Oh, yeah.
He's toolsy.
Well, he's got Dez Bryant's blessing. I don't know if you saw that, but.
Yeah, I saw that.
Dez was tweeting about him the other day.
If Dez says he's good, I mean, we all got to listen.
That's true.
So, yeah, Jordan Love, I think at 19 pick for a first-round quarterback, we all saw the hate on Daniel Jones, and now he is a very hot commodity in Dynasty after throwing 5 touchdowns his last game. So, yeah, Jordan Love as a quarterback at this point in a Superflex league, yeah, I'll take Jordan Love.
Okay, I like it. I'm going back to the receiver core here. I'm going to take Joe Burrow's favorite guy in the world, Justin Jefferson, 6'3", 192 is what he's listed at. So big enough guy.
Get him a sandwich.
Get him a sandwich. Get up to 195, you know? Nice, respectable, even number like 195. Ha ha. Mm-hmm. But over 100 catches this season, 1,400 yards and 18 touchdowns. Obviously, LSU for the longest time was a school that was producing receiver talent, but just wasn't throwing the football around the field. And that was just because they didn't have quarterbacks that could do such a thing. So now they finally have a quarterback that can do that. And wouldn't you know, we have a receiver that's actually starting to ball out. So I'm going to say that it's not just Joe Burrow that did this and that Justin himself is a very talented receiver. I like what I see on tape. I like what I see on film. He's the alpha dog at the receiver core there in LSU, and he's getting the sort of coverage that you know demands that sort of thing. So, and he's beating it. So I like Justin Jefferson. I'm going to take him here at 20th overall and pray my guys here for my last pick when it comes up again.
I like the pick a lot.
Yeah, I do as well. Jefferson was one of the wide receivers I was looking at. I was down to two guys, and that's kind of what made me feel comfortable going with the running back last spot. I thought I could get one of these receivers I like. Jefferson was one. The other one was Jalen Reagor from TCU, 5'11", 195. I think probably had a little bit of a disappointing season. That TCU offense really struggled. Multiple quarterbacks in and out of that lineup. And just a disappointing season from TCU in general. But really excited to see what Reagor can do. He's lost a little bit of dynasty and probably draft value because of that season. So that's just good news for us if we can get him at a discount.
Yeah, 100%. slightly smaller mm-hmm. receiver, but we see more and more in today's NFL that these big type receivers aren't always the cream of the crop type of guys that this, you know, these offenses are looking to build around and weaponize. So, yeah, Rieger could definitely be a weapon in the NFL, that's for sure.
So, I'm actually so pumped, Ryan, that I thought when you said something about a receiver, I thought you were going to take this guy. He is one of the most polarizing players this year, and it's KJ Hamler. I am so pumped to get him at the end of the second. He is a ball of explosiveness. You watch his highlight film, and you're just going to keep trying to find more and more and more. He fits today's NFL like no other. He's going to return kicks, punts. He's going to be a slot receiver. He's going to be able to go deep for you. He's just an all-around weapon. Speaking of weapons, I just keep thinking of Taysom Hill and just how horrible he is to watch on the Saints team. Oh, God. Just pick a position. But no, KJ Hamler, getting him at the end of the second is very exciting because he's a guy that is either going to be a first-round pick or he's going to probably be right here. He's going to move all over the place for people. You got people who love him that think he's a high first. You got people who are kind of eh about him that's going to be a mid-second. So, yeah, he's going to be very polarizing, but I've liked what I've seen so far. So, Hamler at, where am I picking? 22?
22.
Yeah, 22.
Last pick of the draft.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He's going to be that guy that in one draft, somebody's going to be absolutely in love with him and might take him there towards the back of the first. Or you can be in a draft a little bit more like this, where back of the second is going to be where you're going to find him, Landon. So just know your draft mates and who you're playing against, that's for sure. And right into my pick, it's going to be the same sort of thing. I absolutely love this guy. Some people are going to be in that same boat as me that just fall in love with this kid. And there's going to be people that think he's going to be a third round rookie draft pick.
Zach Moss.
But no, sir. Keyshawn Vaughn out of Vanderbilt. I'd like to know what this kid can't do well, because his ability, you know, to make guys miss is top notch. He's got not the world's greatest speed. He's not going to run a 4.2, but he's going to be very fast at the combine. I'd like to see a little bit more power of him, but when he does, you know, hit contact, he keeps legs driving. He attempts to do everything he can to get those extra yards. He shows good vision, and his blocking isn't very bad at all. And we're talking a kid that transferred from Illinois to Vanderbilt. He transferred to the SEC. His yards per carry actually went up on a team where they absolutely know what was going to happen before the yep. snap even went off. Boxes were stacked against him because that's really all Vanderbilt had to throw at other teams. And they knew Keyshawn was getting the ball. They tried to stop him, and they weren't very successful at it. So two straight years over 1,000 yards in the SEC. I think the kid is a very well-rounded, very talented player. And just due to this draft class, all this other running back talent, he's going to be kind of the guy that's kind of forgotten. He's going to be at the top of everybody's, you know, tier twos, and I'm fine with that. I'll take my top tier two running back here in Keyshawn Vaughn and walk away from the draft very happy.
Yeah, I think Vaughn's going to be a guy who's really underrated through this whole process, and maybe mm-hmm. that's because he played at Vanderbilt, or maybe that's just because of the depth of the running back position. But I love getting him later in this draft. And I think, honestly, Tim, it sounds like you're a big fan. I think in typical drafts, we might even see him fall to the third round. Might be even a better value in drafts that...
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's a third-round rookie pick, and I'll be more than happy to take him.
He's got a Singletary vibe to him.
Yeah.
You know, Singletary didn't have a ton of hype. He had his supporters and followers, but I mean, he was still a second round pick in most drafts. Mm-hmm. So I kind of feel like he's got that type of feel to him at the moment.
Yeah. All right, guys, this is
all right, Ryan, wrap
yeah,
us
this
up.
Is the last pick. I'm a little sad because I'm looking at my list and I still see so many names that are,
I'm in the same boat,
that are worth consideration here. I was sure going into this, without really ranking guys too tightly, that I would just be a homer and take my guy Lynn Bowden with the last pick, but I don't think I can do that. We'll see where he ends up coming out of Kentucky. But just to throw out a couple names before I actually make my pick, Isaiah Hodgins, the wide receiver, is one I would consider. Antonio Gandy-Golden is another receiver.
Yeah.
And then
– See, Liberty, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Liberty University?
And then really the player who probably should be the pick here, he actually probably should have been a pick quite a while ago, but I do think he's going to go back to school, so I'm going to avoid him here, is Alabama receiver Devontae Smith. He's in the class, I think he's an early second round rookie pick. I do think he's going back, so I'm going to leave him for next time maybe, and I'm going to go back to the quarterback position. I'm going to take his old quarterback, Jalen Hurts, here from Oklahoma. Probably like all of us, I was one who was completely out on Hurts as a quarterback during his time at Alabama. And seeing what he did this year at Oklahoma was really amazing. It took him from it really made him a legit prospect at the quarterback position. So that certainly was a smart decision for him. I don't know where he ends up being drafted. It's hard to say. I think probably a day two pick would certainly be the safe projection. He is going to play in the Senior Bowl. I think that's going to help him.
I just saw that too.
So, and again, thinking about the Superflex format, even a guy who's has some questions as a prospect, as Hurts obviously does, if you're getting him in the late second round, that's worthy of an investment there.
Yeah, he lands.
Do you have any other names that you wanted to mention?
Oh man. No tight ends. Two rounds, no tight ends. There's a couple that could work their way in, but
I have Alberto on my list.
Yeah,
out of Missouri. Yeah, he's
Hunter Bryant. Tight end that Hunter Bryant is the guy that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be watching.
Purdue.
Yep, and just.
Or no Hunter like Bryant.
Kobe Parkinson's, Bryson Hopkins. I mean, there's a couple that are in there that could work their way into the second round. Say in a tight end premium league, but there's nobody really like Hockenson or Noah Fant like last year. So if you do want a tight end, trade for one of them. Trade for Hockenson. He should be cheap enough. But yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of players like Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, the running back from LSU. He is going to be an interesting prospect because he's how tall do you think he is? Like, he's got to be pretty short, but he is a thick, big body man. AJ Dillon, speaking of thick men, he is like 6'8", 280 pound running back. Yeah, he's a big boy.
He's like six even in like 245, 250.
Maybe. Yeah, he's a big boy. Eno Benjamin, everybody's favorite running back prospect after last year, kind of fell off the face of the earth, but he's in this class. Yeah, there's
people still like him a lot.
J.J. Taylor from Arizona. Super small, but just good. He's a good watch. If you want to watch somebody that is, you're just like, oh, God, he's so small, but he just fights for everything. He's fun to watch just in that aspect. So, yeah, and we got a couple of people that, like Ryan was saying, with Smith or Tua, there's still some people that need to come out. Colin Johnson from Texas. Donovan Peoples-Jones, who just declared, you know, one of the, what was he, the top wide receiver prospect of his class. Yeah, he's coming out from Michigan, kind of underperformed. He's very hit or miss, let's say. So we'll have to see what he does through the process. But yeah, there's a lot of names. Michael Pittman Jr., I know there's a lot of people now that are fans.
Since you named like 25 people now, you've officially taken all three of the guys that were still on my list. I had A.J. Dillon, Michael Pittman, and Albert O. And Ryan did hit on Antonio Gandy-Golden out of Liberty. He was my deep dive type guy.
Yeah. I mean, there's even players like Aaron Fuller who showed flashes. That could be a fourth round flyer pick for you. I mean, there's so many players in this draft. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, let's go over these two rounds real quick before we get out of here. So in the first round, we started off, remember, it's super flex. So the first overall pick here was Mr. Burrow, followed by DeAndre Swift. Tua at quarterback was our third overall pick. J.K. Dobbins, Jerry Judy, CeeDee Lamb, CeeDee Lamb, back to the quarterbacks here with Herbert, Jonathan Taylor at 8, Henry Ruggs at 9, Cam Akers came in at 10, Chenault there at 11, and we wrapped up the first round with a great pick at 12 there by Ryan, Travis Etienne. That's just a,
yeah, you know, at 12,
that's a fever dream getting happens. Travis Etienne at 12. Oh, wow. That's awesome. So then we kick off the second round. Man, I mean, look at what Superflex does to this. T. Higgins starts off, you know, the second round here. 14 overall. Jake Fromm came off the board. 15. I actually kind of forgot about Chuba because he hasn't declared yet, so I just didn't have him on my board. But Tyler did say we could draft him. So great pick there by Ryan. 16th, back to the quarterbacks for Tyler with Jacob Eason. Tyler Johnson at 17. 18 was Najee Harris, a great pick there by Ryan. Jordan Love at 19, more quarterback Love, and really there are some tools there to be had if Jordan Love can develop them. 20 was Justin Jefferson. 21, Jalen Reagor. 22, KJ Hamler. 23, my Love, Keyshawn Vaughn. And then 24, we ended the way we started with a quarterback, Jalen Hurts. So, guys, that's a heck of a early, early draft. I'm sure that, you know, some of these guys are not going to look so great here in about 8 months, but some of these guys are going to look awesome.
I know. I want to look back on this. It's a fun thing to do, to look back on and see how much it's changed and see how the second round, if there's anybody that's jumped up. Because if you're picking somebody in the first round now and they drop to the second round, more than likely, you might be right. So if you get that first round player in the second or third round, say they fall, yeah, you probably got a steal.
You know, Tyler, you were talking about this earlier, kind of trusting yourself and what you see now. And between, you know, some guy that just runs fast in a straight line of the combine, or somebody that's, you know, just height, weight versus their athletic metrics just starts really flying up the boards, or you have a guy that has a bad combine and falls. You know, don't be tricked into believing that some guy that did one or two things good for one day at a combine all of a sudden is deserving of a late first round pick or an early second round pick. And this guy that you believed was a first round pick at this time, this, you know, right now, all of a sudden is going to fall to the mid to, you know, mid second, early third for you. So you just got to kind of keep that stuff in mind. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. It's 2020. This is how we're kicking off the rookie class. Thank you so much to the great Ryan McDowell for joining us. Where can the people find you and everything you do?
Sure. Thanks for having me. First of all, guys, love the mock draft. It's gotten me excited about the class, maybe even more than I was already, to know I'm going to get some of these guys in the third round is good news. But you can find me on Twitter at RyanMC23, and you can find all of my work at DynastyLeagueFootball.com.
Great site, great guy, and great Twitter follow. So everybody go out and follow him there. You can, you know, obviously follow Tyler and I, and follow the rest of us over there at DHH. Guys, it's been a blast. Happy New Year. We're into the 2020 class. Let's go. We'll see you right back here next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.